I spent the next year and a half after that going in and out of jail and in and out of psychiatric hospitals and just completely broken. When I was 13, I started playing in bands. I had been playing music since I was a kid. I got my first guitar at 6 years old, and I was so excited. When I started getting into playing in bands, I started playing in garages, at-home punk rock shows and mosh pits on concrete and falling. And I would ditch school with the band, and we would go and tour the country. You know, I was already getting into being a full-blown drug addict, and I was like, well, you know what, maybe I'll sell drugs. And so I spent the next 3 years selling meth and heroin and guns, and I felt just really broken and very, very lonely. And I was like, well, I came this far, so I'm gonna start slamming. I burned every bridge in my life. I became very violent and angry and aggressive and antisocial, and nobody wanted anything to do with me. So I spent the next year and a half using a needle to inject methamphetamines into my veins, and it took everything from me. My grandparents, they came and they told me about Teen Challenge along with my aunt Tony, and I was kind of like hesitant about this, and I ended up back in a psychiatric hospital again, and I was fed up. I didn't know what to do with my life. But I went to the psychiatrist and I said, hey, listen, there's this place called Teen Challenge that I heard about, and I really need to go there. And if I don't go there, I'm gonna die. After much, much encouragement to play in the worship band, the Lord really, he grabbed a hold of my heart. I get to the castle and I become the dorms guy there, and I'm just really grateful. Like, ah, Lord, I'll be a janitor. I'm grateful to be a janitor. I've got nothing, Lord. My whole life, all I did was thug it and play music, and I have nothing going for me. Who's gonna wanna hire me? Where am I gonna go? A mentor of mine, Pastor Paul, he took me on to his church to become a pastor at his church and teach the young adults. The Lord, he's really been teaching me of being transparent and broken and having a compassionate heart for people. And I get to wake up every morning and work with kids and be an influence in their life and point them towards Jesus. And I get to teach the Word of God, and I get to work with people and be a light in the community and just see lives transform, because I get to work for Teen Challenge now and see all the things that God does in other people's lives. And I'm grateful that I have the relationship with God that I have now, because without it, I'd be dead or in prison. And I owe my life to Jesus. That's the simplicity of it.
Come through. I need you, Jesus, to come through. Come through. I need you, Jesus, 'cause my heart aches and I need something only you can give.
Praise the Lord. God can turn it around. Amen. I was sharing with Brandon. I love that song. God's turning around. He's up to something. He's always up to something good. Do you believe that? Amen. Thank you. It is such a great joy to be here at St. Andrew's again. I love this fellowship. I love this community of saints. And Pastor Jason, thank you so much for inviting me to come and for Teen Challenge to be here. God is doing amazing things at Teen Challenge, and he has been doing here in Southern California for 62 years now. Come on, give the Lord a praise for that. Amen. It is so good to have our staff from Orange County. Shane, will you stand? Shane Parr is our director here in Orange County Teen Challenge. With the rest of the staff, stand. Amen. God bless you. Amen. These are amazing servants of the Lord, and God is using them to be examples of God's faithfulness and goodness in transforming lives. Amen. And the partnership with St. Andrews has been just such a great joy for over all of these many years. Together, we have seen countless lives restored by the power of the gospel and abounding to your heavenly account for all the prayers and support and standing with us for over all these years is abounding to your heavenly account, because that's what we take to heaven with us. We take to heaven with us those good works that we do in the Lord's name. And those works have been marvelous and wonderful to behold. Teen Challenge is now in about 130 nations of the world since it started in 1958, and we're seeing lives transformed all over the globe. And what a privilege and what a joy to be a part of God's kingdom. Are you glad to be a part of God's kingdom? Amen. Hallelujah. We get to serve in God's amazing forever kingdom and be a part of his amazing forever family. And we are family together forever. And we have eternity to look forward to. We're here for just a little while. Amen. But we will be together forever. And I'm going to be looking for your faces when I get there. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love you in the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for you. Today we're going to talk about the greatness of God. You know, when we see the ministry of Teen Challenge, we see God's greatness revealed in lives transformed day by day by day. We have 12 different ministry locations in Southern California, from San Diego up to Fresno, and we have men and women's year-long residential recovery programs. We have a lot of outreach. You may have seen our outreach van outside that's wrapped. We go out to the street, to the highways and the byways, to the homeless camps, wherever we to all kind of festivals, and we set up and we tell people there's hope. There's a way out of your addiction. There's a way to get a new life, and it's through Jesus Christ. And our team has been out on the street sharing. This past year, I was amazed. They reached over 250,000 people in Southern California with those vans going out to the street. Somebody give the Lord a shout of victory. Absolutely amazing. Praise God. And they were able to share that hope. Today is International Overdose Awareness Day. It's kind of a somber time, because we remember more than 500,000 people who've died to drug overdose in our nation just in the last few years. Think about all those families who have are grieving. But it's not just to remember that and say, oh, how horrible that is, but it's also a call to action. It's a call to say, what can I do to redouble my efforts to make a difference? And so I pray that you will, as you think about International Overdose Awareness Day, that it won't just be a somber remembrance, but it will be a recalibration of your commitment to make a difference in all the places that you can, to give people the light of the hope of the gospel so they don't end up in addiction themselves. And if you have family members who are struggling, there is hope. God is going to turn it around. Amen. That was a good place to say amen. Amen. God is going to turn it around. Amen. He's worthy of all of our praise. You know, the word great is used for so many things. We think about great athletes. We call them GOATs, greatest of all time, G-O-A-T. We have great socks. We have great suits. We have a great cup of coffee. We have a great piece of pie. We have great neighbors. I mean, we call everything great. But we want to talk about the greatness of God today. What is the greatness of God, and how does that impact our lives on a day-to-day basis? It's one thing to talk about the attributes of God and to talk about theological concepts, but what does it mean in the way that I live my life? Does it really translate into how I make decisions, how I treat my neighbor, how I view my life in the scheme of all that is happening in the world? God's greatness is his total distinctiveness. There's nothing and no one like him. Hallelujah. God is not great in comparison to anyone or to anything. We can compare coffee, we can compare cake and socks and all that and by the brands that we like, but you can't compare God to anything. He's God all by himself. Praise God. He is in a category of his own. He is great. That is the greatness of God. And I have hope today because of the greatness of God. In the midst of all of the bad news and all of the things that are going on around us with wars around the world and the chaos and governmental structures and the economy and business and all those things that we worry so much about, Jesus says, stop worrying. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added to you. That he's, in other words, think about the greatness of God in the midst of all of the tumult of what is happening in the day-to-day world, so that you will have hope. Do you have hope today? Okay, we're almost there. I said, do you have hope today?
Yes.
Glory! Amen. We have hope today because of the greatness of God. I want to read a passage from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. David, it was getting near the end of his rulership and getting ready to install Solomon, his son, to take his place. And he wanted to build a great temple for the great God. He wanted to build a great house. You know, he'd lived in palaces of opulence all of his reign. And he wanted to build a house for God. And so he gathered from his own treasury, and he invited others to come and give freewill offerings as they were taking this huge offering, because he wanted to build a great house that was worthy of the great God who had done great things in his life. And he begins to say this in 1 Chronicles 29. Well, I want to start with verse number 10. It says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Verse number 11, key verse. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, O God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. What a powerful expression of worship to lead the people of God in as they were getting ready to give for this great cause to build a great house for our great God. Hallelujah. You know, our God is great in his goodness. He's great in his kindness. He's great in his mercy. He's great in his love. He's great in his faithfulness. He's great in his redemption. He's great in his forgiveness. He's great in his compassion. He's great in his comfort. God is great. Do you know the great God? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What does David have in mind concerning the greatness of God? He was thinking about all of the mighty acts of God. He tied this worship of greatness to what God had done in the past. He talked about the majesty of God. In Psalm 150, verse 2, it says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. I like the way that sounds. Say excellent greatness. Come on, say that one more time. Excellent greatness. I don't know, I just like the way that sounds. Praise God. His excellent greatness. He's not just great, but it's excellent greatness. That is the God that we serve. What are those mighty acts that David was thinking about? He had in mind and was recalling the exodus of the children of Israel from Egyptian slavery and captivity. Perhaps he was thinking about the crossing of the Jordan, or the destruction of the prophets of Baal when Elijah called down fire from heaven. Maybe he was thinking about when he stood before Goliath and God gave him a great victory. He was thinking about the history that he was connected to as an Israelite that God had done. What is your history with God? We always tell our students at Teen Challenge, remember your testimony, share your story, share the goodness and the greatness of God for how he has delivered you and set you free, because in that you will find strength, you will find hope, and you will give hope to others. Each one of us have a story. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we're here today and we're saved, if we're born again and we know Jesus and we have a desire to serve him, it's because God has done something in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we all have a history. We all have a story. We have something that God has done for us. God has healed you of sickness and disease. God has delivered you from all kinds of calamity in your life. Maybe you've gone through difficulty in your family and it fell apart, but God has been great to you because you're still wanting to serve Him. He's brought some healing and some reconciliation, and He's taken you from bitterness, and He's given you a heart of compassion and mercy and love. God is great because of the things that He has done for you. Do you remember how great God is to you on a personal level? It's remembering those personal experiences in your own history that gives you the ability to give God praise in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. And difficult circumstances come to us all. We all have times of trial and tribulation. Jesus said, you can be sure that in this world you will have tribulation. But He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome and so will you. So those things come to all of us in our lives. But when we remember how God has met us in the place of our deepest, darkest pit and has lifted us up, then we are able, like David, to give praise and honor for His excellent greatness. Don't ever forget your story. Remember your history. God didn't do anything spectacular. I didn't get delivered from drugs. Listen, in the small things, in the medium-sized things, in the big things, God is great. If you're here this morning in your right mind, God has done something great for you. Hello. Amen. Praise God. See, we compare greatness because we compare things with one another. But God, in His utter distinctiveness, there is no comparison to Him. And His greatness is all around us. Hallelujah. He's great when you arrive driving on the 405. Praise God. God, I'm so glad He's great to keep that truck over there in that lane. Amen. And that person that's going 120, I don't know why. Oh my, you're going to get stopped up there anyway. But God is great because He kept you from losing your mind. Amen. God is great. We all have a history. We all have a story because of His goodness. Remember your personal salvation. He heals your body. He comforted you in times when you lost a loved one and you were grieving, when you were discouraged by something you expected to happen and it didn't happen. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And we hoped for something and we hoped and it didn't come to pass and we became discouraged. But God in His greatness sustained us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. I remember for years, my mother was an alcoholic and my family would pray for her to be delivered. And in His greatness, in His mercy, He kept Mama, hallelujah, for all those years that she was drinking. And then one day, finally, He delivered her. And I remember one day my sister called me and she said, should we stop praying for Mama? I said, what do you mean, sis? She said, the more we pray, it seems like the worse she gets. I said, we need to pray all the more, hallelujah. And so we prayed all the more, and it was so amazing that I got to see my mother come to the Lord when I was preaching. God is great. God is great. God is great. And I remember that day when she walked down on her walker and she surrendered her heart to Jesus and was baptized and became this amazing greeter in the church. She was like Miss Sunshine. And so she was standing at the door, come in, the Lord has a word for you today. I'm like, is that my mama? God truly is great. I want you to know that God does miracles. Remember your story. Remember when you were discouraged and despondent and had no hope in this world and God met you and you found yourself somehow putting one foot in front of the other and continuing to go forward by faith even when you didn't feel it. That's an expression of God's greatness in your life. So worship Him and praise Him for His greatness. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Praise and worship erupts from our hearts when we remember the greatness of God. We have a confident trust. We have a hope-filled expectation
Our faith is invigorated, and we become a steadfast witness in a world that is full of darkness. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. These are the things that come from our hearts when we connect to the greatness of Almighty God. Proclaim His greatness. Proclaim your own history. Hallelujah. I think about the exodus of the children of Israel when God led them out of Egypt. He says, with a strong and outstretched arm, He gave many signs and wonders. Do you know today that God's arm is still outstretched towards His people? Amen. You may not be able to see it with your natural eye, but I want you to know that God's hand of blessing, His hand of mercy, His hand of goodness, His hand of good grace is stretched out toward you. As He told the Apostle Paul, in those times when you are weak, the power of Christ will rest on you, and My grace is sufficient for you. God's hand is stretched out. Oh, we may not see Pharaoh's army going into the Red Sea. We may not see all of the plagues that were released in Egypt during that time, but I want you to know that God is releasing goodness. God is releasing grace. He's releasing mercy. He's releasing forgiveness. He's taking care of bitterness that's been bound up in the heart for years, and He's taken that out and given a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy and love. God's hand is outstretched towards you today. Know and understand that the greatness of God is moving on your behalf. God's redemption in the past has an impact on what happens in our lives in the present. See, when David worshiped God for His greatness, for what he had done in the past, it informed his worship in the present. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 12, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus said, prayed for His disciples in John chapter 17. He said, be in the world, but not of the world. And what happens when we enter into that place of recognizing God's greatness and remembering and meditating on what He has done, it causes us to be in the world the right way. Amen. See, we're in the world, but we don't have to be of the system of the world, because we're from another kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God's greatness. Hallelujah. And so when we're in this world, we know how to live. We know how to act. We know how to be. He says in that we are able to prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And people are able to get a glimpse of what the kingdom looks like when they see our lives being lived in the place of God's greatness. Isn't that wonderful? That we get a chance to be a witness so that people can see who Jesus is. The greatness of God. Hallelujah. Whether you're going through a difficult time today or not, I want you to know that God has not forgotten about you. How do we respond to the greatness of God? First of all, we have to recognize when His greatness is there, because I think we think sometimes that we create our own paradigm in our lives. We forget that it's not by power, not by might, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. We forget that it's the goodness of God that gives us the ability to think. It's the goodness and greatness of God that gives us the ability to earn the income that we have. It is the grace and goodness and greatness of God that we're able to be in our right mind. And we think sometimes that we did it, and as a result, we don't give Him the praise. We hold back, but don't hold back on your worship. Give Him all the worship. Give Him all the praise for His excellent greatness that is being revealed in your life. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His glory filled the temple, Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. When you recognize the greatness of God, you recognize your own sinfulness, and it causes you to recalibrate your own living and your own thinking, and to get into a place of repentance so that you live according to God's word and according to His principles. Can someone say amen? When David worshiped with all of his might and he longed to build a house for the Lord, it was because he had a glimpse of the greatness of God. Moses, he saw the greatness of God and he had these sandals on and he had to remove them because the place that he was standing was holy because of the greatness of God. Maybe there's something that we need to remove from our lives that's causing us to trample on the glory and greatness of God so that we can get to that place that we are God's ambassadors, God's God's representatives in the earth. Our God is a good God. Amen. When Peter, James, and John, they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw the greatness of God when Jesus was transfigured before them, and they wanted to build a booth, a little shelter for Elijah and for Moses and for Jesus. They wanted to savor the moment. Hallelujah. Sometimes we say, well, why do they want to build a monument? Jesus said, no, that's not what I want you to do. But what happens to us? I think sometimes it's okay to build a little booth around yourself and say, Lord, it's just me and you in this place, and I'm going to remember today your greatness, even in the midst of all the trials and difficulties that I'm going through, and I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to build this little shelter here for us to be in. Hallelujah. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in fellowship with God, because it's in that place that you're able to calibrate your own life and remember that he's in charge and we're not. That was a good place to say amen. Hallelujah. God is in charge, we are not. And when we remember that, then we are able to live according to the greatness that has been revealed. This Saul of Tarsus, when he was on the road to Damascus, and he had this great revelation of the greatness of God, and it caused him to really become this ambassador to the Gentiles. The woman at the well, she saw this man who forgave her of her sin and didn't judge her because of her lifestyle and knew everything about her. She met Jesus. She met the greatness of God. She said, I got to go tell everybody. She became a powerful evangelist, went and told her whole city, come out, her whole village, come out and see this man that knows everything about me, didn't judge me, but he said, there's a place for living water for me. When you have a revelation of Jesus, there is always a response. When you see God's greatness, there will always be a response. What is our response? Are we to be silent? Does he have to raise up rocks to cry out? Ain't no rock going to cry in my place. I'm going to give God the praise. Amen? Amen. Ain't no rock going to cry in my place. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify his holy name. Hey, ain't no bird going to sing my song. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify his holy name. Come on and praise him. Praise him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. When we see the greatness of God, it causes worship to come from our very being that ascends to the throne room of God to give him the glory and the honor that is due his name. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, the full nature of God, our great God, is revealed in the Son. For the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is our great God. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So why do we worry about the temporary thrones and dominions around us? Oh, everything's going to fall apart because they're making these decisions. Stop. The greatness of our God in the midst of all of the minutiae of our world today is what we are to have our eyes on. And when we look to him, we have hope. When we look to him, we're able to worship. When we look to him, we're able to make the right kind of decisions. When we look to him, we're able to love our neighbors ourselves. When we look to him, we are his ambassadors. When we look to him, we are the church of the living God. And we say, hey, as Peter and John, they said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can we say, look on us? We're the people of God. Have hope today. Have hope today. Have hope today. Have hope today. Thank you, Lord. We keep looking for someone else to stand up. It's time that we stand up and say, hey, I just serve Jesus, you know. I don't know a whole lot about all those issues and stuff over there, but one thing I know, I have met the King. I have met the greatness of God. And from that place, I'm going to live a life that is worthy, as David wanted to build this house that was worthy of a great God. And it caused him to be so generous to give everything that he had. I want to give all my life. I want to give all of my energy. I want to give everything to him because he is the great God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine if we lived like that? You know, the book of Acts says that, I think it was in chapter 4, it says none of the early church thought the things that they had were their own, and they had all things in common. And it says there was great grace upon them all. There was great grace upon them all because they were worshiping the greatness of God. They were living out of the greatness of God. They were living out of a vision of God's greatness. And it says great grace was upon them all. If there was ever a time that the people of God need to have great grace upon them all, it's the season we're living in now. Oh, a couple of amens. Amen. We need the great grace of God. Amen. The great grace of God comes when we worship him. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, John, the Apostle John writes, "And I saw what looked like a sea of glass glowing with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and its image and over the number of its name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb." And this is the song. "Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. You are the great God." Is he the great God for you today? Amen. Psalm 96 verse 1 through 4 says this: "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods." Psalm 145, verse 3. "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works." Hallelujah. When we meditate upon the wonderful works of God, then we are able to have this amazing, unstoppable worship. Worship is not just a song that we sing. I mean, when you're singing with an amazing worship leader like Brandon and all these musicians here, we can really sing loud and think we sound really great. Amen. Hey, but I want you to know that God loves the song of your life, not just the words that you sing, but is there a rhythm, is there a song to your life that when you walk, is there love, is there kindness, is there goodness, is there compassion? You know, God told the children of Israel to remember where they came from, that they were strangers and foreigners in a strange land. And when the foreigner is among you, you need to respect them and honor them and treat them well, because you remember where you were. And I showed you my greatness. Now I want you to show the greatness that you have received to those who are among you. When God's greatness is revealed, it affects the way we live. It affects how we treat others. It affects how we love, how we care, and how we give ourselves away and surrender to the Lord of Jesus Christ, because he is the great God. He is, and in his most excellent greatness, we want to live a life that is pleasing to him. Can somebody say amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As I close, in Matthew, Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." All that is in earth and all that is in heaven belongs to God. Just as David proclaimed there in 1 Chronicles 29, he says, "Yours is the power and the majesty and the greatness, because all things in heaven and earth belong to you, and nothing that we have belong to ourselves." So he says, "I'm going to live and I'm going to give in such a way that others will know that I'm not tied to my success. I'm not tied to my reputation. I'm not tied tied to what I can accomplish, but I'm tied to the God who has all power, all wisdom, all grace in heaven and in earth. And from that place, I want to give him praise. Jesus said that we are to do good works on earth that will give glory to our Father in heaven. Maybe they'll forget your name, but maybe they'll remember his name because you did it in his name. You did good in his name. And so it's not about building our name or building our reputation. It's about building the reputation of Jesus. And so when we do good works that glorify the Father and we say and give him the credit for it through our worship and our lifestyle and the way we live, then it causes others to worship. It causes others to praise him because God is for all the nations of the world. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus today? Do you worship Jesus today? Do you glorify Jesus today? He's great in his healing. He's great in his mercy. He's great in his redeeming power. He's great in his deliverance. He's great. He's great. He's great. Hallelujah. God is great. I said, God is great. God is great. And he said one generation will praise him to the next. And so our children and our grandchildren need to see this great God revealed in our lives so that they too will carry on the legacy. The greatest legacy that we can give to our family is a legacy of faith in the greatness of God so that in the midst of all circumstances, when they see us praise God, when they see us worship him in the midst of all of the stuff, then they too will carry that legacy on. Isn't that what you want for your family? That they will carry on the legacy of faithfulness and not be lost to this world and not be carried away with the stuff that this world is sweeping over them, all of the opinions of man and all of the relativism of the life that we live. That's not who we are. We live based on principles and precepts and on a God who's unchangeable. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And when we stand in that place and we worship him from one generation to the next, we will leave a legacy of faithfulness in the earth. This is the God we serve. This is the great and awesome God. Remember your story. Remember what Jesus has done for you. Don't compare what he did for you to the person that lives next door, but say, no, Jesus, you met me in a dark place. You gave me hope when I had none. When I was selfish, you told me to stop being selfish. And when I was full of pride, you humbled me. When I wanted to give up, I found myself going on another day. When I was angry and bitter with everybody and everything, somehow it got diffused. God, you're great in my life. And from that place, I want to live in such a way that it gives glory and honor to your name. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is the most excellent of greatness. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for being patient with us. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are great in your patience. Because sometimes we can be a little stubborn, Lord, but I'm so thankful that you're great in your patience and your gentleness and your goodness. Now, Lord, from that place of gratitude, help us to be powerful worshipers. Help us to display your goodness and your faithfulness and your greatness to our generation. In Jesus' name, amen.